Hey there, Cozy Babe, and welcome back to the Cozy Babes Club. I hope you are buckled in and ready to chit-chat with me for a little bit. I hope the audio sounds okay. I recently went and changed a bunch of my settings. I moved my computer around a little bit. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Gemini placement in me. The Taurus in me hates change and wants everything to be consistently the same. If I go to a restaurant and I order something and I like it, I will come back and order that same thing over and over and over and over again because it's just how I operate. But when it comes to the home and furniture and room setup, roomscape, I don't know if it's the feng shui of the room. Feng shui, I'm not actually sure how to pronounce it properly, unfortunately, but I feel like there's just something about taking your little furniture, moving it around in only the way that you could, and it just changes something. So I'm known to do this all the time. I've lived in this house for less than 2 years and my office has had a bajillion configurations. I have moved this room around so many times. In any case, I moved my main setup around a little bit, and in doing that, I think I accidentally touched some of the knobs on the thing that my microphone is hooked into, and so I hope it still sounds okay. If it doesn't, I will get my tech in here, which is literally just my husband, and we'll have him fix it before the next episode. But sorry that the episode is late. I know usually they go up on Mondays at 4:44 in the morning. It is now Tuesday. And I'm hoping this one will go up around that same time. It's just going to be a day late. So I'm also sorry, my necklaces, I keep touching them because they are so tangled. I should have just taken them off because now I want to fidget, but it's fine. It is what it is. Y'all, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit nervous for this episode. And I don't know why necessarily, because I'm such an open book. I feel that I've already talked about a lot of this stuff very publicly as well. Okay, so let's back it up a little bit. Y'all already know from the title what we're going to be discussing, but this past week, I had this intuitive pull to basically go back to streaming on Twitch and just not for money, not for views, not for following, not for some grand business adventure. Okay, this is something that would be very typical of me, which I'm also not saying there is any shame in doing something like that. If that is your plan to go on Twitch and make money, more power to you. But really just to connect. That's all I've wanted to do is just connect with other people. Y'all already know from a couple episodes back that I've really been struggling in the friendship department. And the thing that I feel like I haven't really talked about, because I just said that I would talk about it in a future episode, is that at the end, sorry, I'm getting so far ahead of myself. I took no notes, so this is going to be a rambly as hell episode, but I started streaming on Twitch. I'm going for 33 days in a row. I stream at 2 p.m. every day, unless I tell everybody otherwise. It's been a really good experience so far. We'll get into that in a minute. I first feel like I need to address that at the end of January, I had my first panic attack in probably 2 years, maybe a little more. And when I tell you, this experience has been so fucking terrible, having to heal from panic attacks a second time, because if y'all have been around listening to my podcast for a long time, you know that in 2021, I had a major episode of, I don't want to call it panic disorder because I am a firm believer that if diagnoses actually help you to get results, to get healing, to talk to the right people, then you should go by your diagnosis. However, I, number one, was never diagnosed with panic disorder. And number two, yes, what I was experiencing might have fit the criteria, but calling myself somebody with panic disorder makes me feel bad. So, and that, I'm not trying to shit on anybody else that deals with this. It's very serious stuff, but it doesn't make me feel like it's helping me in any way, shape, or form. Having a diagnosis is meant to help you. And if it's not helping you, I'm a firm believer you should just throw that shit away. Obviously, if you are dealing with something extremely serious that impacts your day-to-day life, I think, like I said, if it allows you to get the help that you need, I think diagnosis is important. But I think if the label actually causes you more stress, don't use it. Literally don't use it. So for me, having that, like, especially as somebody that is, I tend to live my life more through the holistic lens. Not that I do not believe in Western medicine. I do. I tell y'all all the time now that I'm an al dente girly. I'm not fully crunchy, but I'm also not like, oh, I don't like any of that. I'm al dente. Okay. So being somebody that tends to lean more towards holistic health, I just have a really hard time with diagnosis in general, because I feel like it is an umbrella way of trying to get an individual help when everybody really needs an individual plan for themselves, if that makes sense. So, and this is not to discourage anyone from getting help or working on their own diagnosis of something of the same accord. I hope that you'll take anything that I say in this episode, knowing full well that I am not a mental health professional. You should never listen to me. If you're looking for guidance in something with your own mental health, you should seek a professional for that, that is trained and educated. However, I'm speaking just from my own experience today. So, anywho, I have healed from this already. I've healed from this already one time. And it was really hard. It was really scary. I was more anxious than I've ever felt in my whole life back then. And I literally tell people when they ask me about that experience, 2021, when that was happening in my life, that was the worst year of my entire life. Like, I have been through years where I have lost family members. I have been through years where I have had emergency surgery. And 2021 was the worst year of my life, dealing with panic attacks, major anxiety episodes, and then like spiraling into depression over and over and over again. And coming out of that was such a lengthy process because I'd never experienced that before, that I feel like it took even longer. Now, let me tell you what happened. So at the end of January, I'm just going to tell it to you exactly how it happened. I feel like I've forgiven myself, which I think is an important thing to note here. I have forgiven myself, but the reason that this happened again was for the exact same reason it happened the first time. The first time that this series of panic attacks and all of these things happened, I got too high. I smoked some weed. Actually, I ate weed that time. It was an edible. I got way too high. It freaked me the fuck out. And I had never experienced a panic attack before. And I was constantly in fight or flight waiting for the next one. And I even tried to like get help at that time, and I was just left so confused. And like I said, it took a lot of healing on that process. There were times in 2021 where I was dealing with like suicidal ideation because it was so hard. I felt like that was how my life was going to be forever. And healing from that took a lot of effort on my part and a lot of consistently showing up. But I did heal. And like that whole thing to me like went into remission. I was fine. And then in January, I was like, you know what? I like I said, I'm going to tell it to you exactly how it happened. Okay. I had been smoking a little bit of weed. Okay. And I'd been doing it like a couple of times for a few days. Like, and it wasn't like I was smoking a ton. It was just like, I was hanging out with a friend that also does this. And like, it was no big deal. I was having a good time. I was laughing. And like, I knew that when this friend left, I would stop doing it because I typically do not participate. Like, it's just not, I know that I have a history of mental health problems when it comes to this substance. And for the first few days, though, everything was fine. I was having a good time, giggly, watching Disney movies, you know, whatever. I don't even remember what we were doing, to be honest, but it was fine. And on one particular evening, my friend had gone to bed, my husband had gone to bed, and I decided to like hit this little pen that I had. And I thought this was so awesome that like I even went and bought myself my own pen. I was like, oh, I kind of want one of these for myself. Like, I would like to have one of these because, you know, it's kind of nice if I want to like relax a little more while I'm doing something. I'm a supporter of weed. Okay. I think that it should be legalized everywhere. I think it's weird that it's not. There are so many positive things that it can do. And even though I'm not somebody that will smoke all the time, or I will probably never touch an edible again in my entire life, or actually I'll probably never smoke it again in my entire life either after this experience, but I was like getting ready to go to sleep myself and I decided to hit this pen, and I think I just hit it too hard And literally within minutes, I was having a panic attack. And what I have discovered about myself is when this happens, if I don't have something to focus on, if I'm not like building Legos, if I'm not watching a movie, if I'm not hanging out with friends, I will start to become really aware of my bodily sensations and I will start to panic and I'll start to overthink. And so I start having a panic attack. I literally wake my husband up and I tell him I smoke too much weed. Like I'm cognitive enough to tell him what is wrong. I smoke too much weed. I am having a panic attack. Like, I know that it will be okay. Like, even in the moment, I'm freaking out and I'm telling him I know it will be okay. It's just really not okay right now. And immediately I get up and go to the bathroom because I don't know about y'all, but I told you I was going to tell you exactly how it happened. Okay. I have to, if I get anxious or my adrenaline peaks, I have to poop immediately. So I go to the bathroom. My husband actually follows me into the bathroom, which we're open like that. We don't care. Like, it's no big. I will, if my friend was not visiting, I will literally poop with the door open all the time. Does not bother us. We are that open with each other. We're not like, I'm a girl who poops. No, I'm a bitch who shits, okay? So I go into the bathroom. He follows me. He's trying to like talk with me, trying to help me calm down, ask me if he can get my ice roller for me, which he then does because that's something that he knows from the past when I've had these problems. Ice rolling has been something that's really helped me. And so he brings my ice roller to me. I want to say he also gives me a warhead candy because we've also learned that sour candy can like help you come off of a panic attack. And so he's just like trying to talk to me. I am literally, this is like so embarrassing, y'all. I am sitting on the toilet. I have no clothes on. My husband is standing in front of me and my whole body is shaking, which if you don't know, when it comes to panic attacks and having these kinds of experiences, if your body wants to shake, you need to let it. Like, and I know this because I've already been through this before. You need to, like, do not try to resist what your body naturally wants to do. Because what happens is you make those symptoms worse if you don't just let your body naturally dissipate. And if your body is shaking, this is actually a good thing. It means that all that adrenaline that's in your system that is making you freak out is actually trying to dissipate out of your body. We know this because not only has this been a thing for, like, war vets that like go into like care for PTSD, a lot of them will shake when they're going through treatment. Same with animals out in the wild. When they have like a really high adrenaline experience, they will shake afterwards. You need to let your body shake because it is helping to dissipate that adrenaline. So I knew that I was like starting to come down because my whole body was having a physical reaction. Anyways, I have this panic attack and I'm supposed to go to Hawaii the next day. Mind you, I have never traveled to Hawaii. I have not gone on a solo trip in over a year somewhere. I now am feeling like my world is getting very small because of this. And I feel like I'm getting put back where I was in 2021. And even though I know cognitively, okay, I know why this happened. I know what triggered it. You would think that I would just be able to put that shit away and be like, well, that's why it happened. I'm not going to smoke anymore. That will never happen again. That's not really how mental health works. You can't just turn that shit off. So weirdly enough, going to Hawaii and like spending time with my friend, there was one day where I started to feel a little panicky and she did kind of help me through it. She knows what panic attacks are like. She's had them herself. She kind of just coached me through it, worked with me. Such a sweet friend, the amazing person. Coached me through it, all that. But within that experience, you know, I felt like I did okay on vacation. I felt like I did okay, even though I got sick on vacation too, which is like another one of my big fears is like being sick away from home. I felt like I overcame a lot on that vacation, but I got sick. And I'm still technically coming off of that sickness. And it's been like over 5 weeks now, which is crazy. But, I feel like I really did okay. But then coming home and being back in the environment where it happened, I feel like from then I have just been unwell. Like, There were a few weeks where I did somewhat okay. I would do more relaxing activities before bed. And like, I noticed that when I start to panic, because I've now had like panic attacks after the fact, when I start to panic, it often happens before bed. And I think that's because that's when the initial one happened. And even in 2021, when I had one, I woke up and I was having a panic attack. So sleep tends to really trigger that for me. And it sucks because I'm never going to be able to not sleep. Like, I have to sleep. Unfortunately, being a human means that your body is required to sleep and recover. So I feel like being at home somehow actually made it worse. Like, coming home, and then also my husband got COVID, as y'all know if you listened to last week, and he was hospitalized. That was another anxiety inducing thing. Like, I just feel like there's been a lot going on in my life that it makes sense that I wouldn't feel like I had the capacity to deal with panic attacks fully. It makes sense. Like, being in the ICU with my husband in this like confined little room was also very unsettling to my mind mentally when going through this already. There was just a lot that I feel like was exacerbating the problem. And now that you kind of know what happened and what is up, I feel like I've had like probably a series of like 4 panic attacks now since the end of January. Wow, when I say it out loud, that's actually kind of a lot. Well, I mean, nothing compared to 2021 where I felt like I was having them on the daily constantly. But, you know, maybe even 5 actually. 4 or 5 of them since like the end of January. And they're always onset in the evening. It's always because I'm overthinking about like, am I going to have a panic attack? And I will literally think my way into one. And the only relief that I have really found, and this is like really what I wanted to talk about more, I wanted to kind of explain to you what happened and then talk about like the recovery process. Because in 2021, when I went through this, the recovery process took months. Damn near 8 months. Like, it took a really long time of consistently showing up for myself and going to therapy and talking to the right people and getting the right support. And it took a lot going through all of that. I think I was even medicated for a chunk of 2021. And this time, with all the tools, the knowledge, the skills, the healing modalities, everything that I have, I am confident that I will get over this by myself. I don't honestly think that I need to seek outside help at this point, only because I am seeing improvement. Day over day, I am seeing improvement with myself. And I don't feel like I am backsliding. In fact, I feel like I'm really kind of on an upward trend right now. But sometimes we know healing is not linear. And I've definitely considered getting a therapist just to like really work with me in tandem with this. But the main things that I have done that I feel like have actually helped me, and I wanted to share this information in like a really personal episode, because I know that some of you out there struggle in this same way. And I know that if the roles were reversed and I was listening to you who is struggling and how you have overcome this, it would give me hope that I could overcome as well. And so I really want to talk to you about what I'm doing right now and how it's actually providing the relief that I'm looking for. And where is my Kindle? I thought I brought that in here. I guess I didn't. Oh, no, I did. Okay, so, and I will link this book down below because I think it's that valuable that I think anybody that struggles in this way, it's worth the read. If you have Kindle Unlimited, it's free on Kindle Unlimited. It's called Dare, the New Way to, sorry, the writing is really small on the little picture on my Kindle. Dare, the New Way to End Anxiety and Stop Panic Attacks by Barry McDonough, McDonagh. This book, like I said, free on Kindle Unlimited if you have it. And I've been reading through this book, and I used a similar approach in 2021. This approach helped me then. And then like, once I stopped dealing with panic attacks, I like forgot about it. So I had to kind of reintroduce myself to the process again. And basically the DARE response, this is what it means. So when you use the technique of DARE during a panic attack or during an anxiety attack, or when you feel like you're starting to feel overwhelmed, they each letter stands for something else. So D is for diffuse. And again, please remember, I'm not a mental health professional. So you can use these tools just because I'm telling you that they worked for me, but it doesn't mean that it will like solve all of your problems. I would highly encourage you to read the book though, because it really gives you like, it gives you the support that maybe you don't have in your life that is necessary to recover, in my opinion. So the D stands for diffuse. So if you hear that voice in your head that's saying like, oh my gosh, what if this is happening? Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And it's starting to overwhelm you. You need to give that voice like a cartoon structure. Like, what does that person, if they were personified in your head, look like? I always kind of give them like a cartoonesque figure. Mine looks like a character that would exist in like Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. Mine is very cartoonesque, very claymation style. And its voice is high-pitched and squeaky. Like, they sound like a cartoon character. Or like how in Big Mouth, if y'all have ever seen that show, the little anxiety mosquito, it like sounds like that. And when you give that sound in your head or that voice in your head a voice, what that does is it helps you differentiate between your own thoughts. So, you know, when these thoughts start to come up, you're like, oh, hey, anxiety, there you are. Oh my gosh. Hello. What's going on, bestie? How are you feeling? You know, you can kind of like, it's called diffusing for a reason. It helps you to diffuse anything that starts to come up to the surface that's scaring you. And the A in DARE stands for, I want to say it's accept. At least this is how my process is anyways. It might not stand for accept, but I'm pretty sure it does. This works for me though, so I'm just going to go with it. I didn't double check the book, but I've been using this process for the last several weeks and I have seen it improving my life. So with the accept approach, so you do the diffusing first, then you go into the state of acceptance. This is the step that I think is actually the hardest, because most people, when you first think about this, if you're dealing with panic attacks or anxiety attacks, you are going to look at this and be like, you're kidding. No way am I going to be able to do that. I promise you that you can. And it is important to that recovery journey that you get to a place, even if you have to fake it a little bit until you make it. But coming to a state of acceptance and just that voice that wants to tell you to start panicking, to start escalating that energy, you have to literally turn to yourself. I like to like hold myself and I will literally tell myself, it's okay. You're allowed to be here. I know that you want to freak out right now. I know that you feel like you're hyper aroused. I know you're getting tunnel vision. I know your heart rate is escalating. It's okay. I accept you. I accept you. I accept myself. I accept that this is happening. I accept this. And interestingly enough, I know it sounds crazy, but when you get to that point of acceptance, even if you don't mean it, but when you say it, it's almost like if you do this with repetition, eventually you will accept it. Eventually. And it's not that, oh, I'm going to accept this and now the rest of my life is going to be lived like this. No. It's that part of you that's trying, because ultimately it's trying to protect you, even if the protection is like false. It's trying to protect you because you're trying to be protected from the thing happening again. So when you say that you accept this protector part, when you accept yourself, basically that part of you can start to dissipate and be like, oh, you're not resisting me. You're not fighting me. It is in the resistance that this continues to amplify. Now, in the beginning, sometimes that is not enough and you will continue, like eventually that will be enough. But in the beginning, sometimes you'll still feel like you're going to escalate into a panic attack. And when that happens, I swear to you, this is the only tool that has helped me. I will literally tell myself. So if I notice my heart rate is increasing and that's scary me, I will tell myself, okay, Chloe, let's make our heart beat faster. You want to go fast? Let's go fast. Go ahead. Beat faster, beat harder, and give it like 10, 15 seconds. You can't. You literally can't. Or if you feel your throat closing up, literally ask yourself, I wonder if my throat could close up anymore. Or If you feel yourself getting dizzy or lightheaded or having that tunnel vision, anything that comes with that state of hyper arousal, try to make it happen more. I know that sounds crazy, but hear me out. It is actually a legitimate technique that like therapists use, but like when you do this, when you say, okay, give me more, literally you can't. What you are experiencing is already the worst that it will ever be. And so you cannot make it worse. And when you realize that, it's almost like kind of handing your own power back to you and going, oh, actually, my heart can't beat any harder than this. Actually, I can't get any dizzier than I already am. Actually, my throat isn't closing up anymore. Actually, nothing is really getting worse because it can't. And I feel like it kind of like gives you the reins back. So that takes some serious effort. I will not lie to you about that. I would also recommend there's an app that goes in tandem with this book. It is a paid service. I only used the free version because it was like free for 2 weeks and then I canceled it. Mainly because I felt confident in myself having survived panic attacks one time already before. I feel confident in myself to do this work. And I didn't feel like I needed the app, but I think it was a great product. And if you feel like you need like a guide for the things that I'm talking about, the app actually has guides for like when you are panicking. There is guides that will lead you through this process and like pre-recorded things that will lead you through it. And I've used them and they have worked. But basically, like I said, you kind of look towards those feelings and you just say, okay, go harder. Go off, queen. Go off, go off. And I think another one of my favorite ones, like everybody kind of talks to their anxiety or their hyper arousal differently. But one of my favorite things to say to mine when it is like really off the chain trying to do some shit, I will literally kind of make a mockery of my anxiety. I will go and I will say either, usually in my head, this is all happening internally. I will literally say to myself, you know, you have already told me all of that before. Do you have anything new? Like, you've already told me that anxious thought. You've already told me that anxious thought. You've already shown me this problem. We've already talked about this one before. Can you give me something new? Do you got any crazier thoughts? If you want, like, especially if you deal with like a lot of racing thoughts too, when it's happening, like that's another thing you can say is like, okay, go ahead, make my mind race more. Give me more crazy thoughts. Like, it just, they're literally just thoughts and they cannot hurt you. And it kind of also helps to come to that place of acceptance, I feel like, as well. And I know it sounds insane. Like, if you have been through this, you know how crazy what I'm saying sounds. But it is the only relief that I personally have been able to utilize and see it work. But it takes effort. It's not easy. I'm not here to tell you that it doesn't hurt. I'm not here to tell you that it's easy and that it's not scary, because it is. But to me, from my perspective, for my health, my mental well-being, I would rather deal with that hard for a month or so, you know, however long it takes, than deal with this for the rest of my life and try to sit here and resist the rest of my life. And what we resist persists. We know that. So I would much rather deal with this hard time period right now and be able to live my life panic attack free, because I have full confidence that I will make a full recovery. This will go into remission again. Truly, I believe that. And I know I've already said it, but I have already seen progress. Like, even just within the last 3 days, I have seen an insane amount of progress. So that step. Anyways, DA, so the R stands for run towards. And I feel like I've kind of already given you some examples of run towards. Like, you're not turning away from the experience. If you're having a panic attack, if you're having an anxiety attack, most of the time, everybody tries to resist it, tries to quiet it down. And instead, you are meant to question, you know, maybe you're in a car with a group of people and you feel like you're going to have a panic attack. And you just say, you know what? What if I did have a panic attack around all these people? What would happen? What is the worst thing that could happen? And run towards it. Or maybe you're out at the grocery store and you feel like you're going to faint. It is highly unlikely that you will actually faint. Number one, like statistically, it is highly unlikely. I promise. I am not unique. You are not unique. This is something that something crazy like 8 million Americans specifically, I don't know about other countries, deal with panic attacks every single year. This is not something that like your case is so special that you cannot make some kind of recovery. I promise. I can promise you that. Like it is not, I can't promise you recovery. That's not what I'm saying, but I can promise you that your situation is not unique. Like, and I think, I know that could sound like a slap in the face, but I mean that with the most respect and with the most love, because having experiences like these is so isolating that you feel like you're the only person having this kind of experience. And it can just make it so much worse when you feel like you're all alone and that your situation is so unique and nobody has ever experienced what you've experienced. And for me, understanding that I'm not unique, that so many other people have gone through what I'm going through, that makes me feel better. Not that I want other people to suffer, but you know what I mean. Anyways, so the R stands for run towards. So you want to run towards whatever sensations and feelings you are having. So it's, again, it kind of to me almost goes in tandem with that acceptance, is we run towards the feeling. We run towards the sensation. And this is something that I had to get there, because in the past, even as I told you with that initial panic attack in January that I had this year, I wanted the ice roller. I wanted the warheads. I wanted to be with my safe person, which is my husband. I wanted all of these like crutches, basically, that I think in the beginning when you're really freaked out and really scared, those crutches matter and you need to have them in your toolkit. But over time, the idea to me for myself and my how I handle myself is that I don't want to have those things. I don't want to, every time I think I'm going to panic, I have to get my ice roller, because what if I'm in a situation where I think I'm going to have a panic attack and I don't have access to that? Or same with like sour candies, or maybe I'm not around my husband, who is a very safe person to me. I would rather like actually run towards and do my best to dissipate without those things, not try to distract myself from the panic attack. Does that make sense? Like, to me, the run towards is often we try to distract. You're not meant to distract. You are meant to feel your, because the only way out is through. You're not going to be able to go around it. The only way out is through. So anyways, you want to run towards. And I've actually gotten to a place where the last panic attack I had was just a couple of nights ago. I had one, and it was the first time since January that I have had one and I didn't reach for anything else. I didn't reach for an ice roller. I didn't reach for candy. I didn't wake my husband up. I went to the bathroom, you know, relieved myself, because that is something that happens to me every time. And while I was sitting on the toilet in the bathroom, I was coaching myself through these steps, and I was able to dissipate the panic attack in less than 20 minutes, and on my own, no extra tools, just talking myself through it, sometimes talking out loud if I needed to. Thankfully, my husband was not awake, so I felt like I could coach myself appropriately. But after coming through that and out the other side and using those tools and seeing them work and seeing my progress, it like gives you the confidence that you need to know that you're going to make it. Like, that's something else I want to say is like, as you use these tools, they help you build the confidence that your life is probably missing. So the last step, which is E, which is engage. So I actually feel like this step, along with acceptance, is a hard step, because oftentimes after a panic attack, you want to sit and ruminate. You want to ruminate on what happened. You want to ruminate on safeguarding yourself from it happening again. There is a lot of rumination. And if you've ever experienced this before, you know that some people, myself included, I've been there, you will live in a constant state of fear that it's going to happen again. And the thing is, the more you engage with life, the less room, which E stands for engage, the more you engage, the less room you have to ruminate. And I know that this is difficult too, because it's very isolating, right? It feels like your situation is unique. You want to sit and ruminate on that. And the more that you actually engage with life instead, the easier it becomes, because you also start to trust yourself more as you're engaging. And so this is why I felt really like, because I would go to my guides on the fucking daily. Like, I set up an altar in my living room. I would go to my guides and pray every single day. Please help me through this. Please help me work through this. I cannot be going through this again. I am more scared in some ways this time than I was the first time, because now I know that it can happen again. And I know that this can crop up again at any point in time. And this is awful. I don't like feeling like this. And I feel like my guides have really led me. They led me back to the DARE response. They led me to the app, the DARE app. They led me to Reddit posts where people were discussing their recovery. And they also led me to start streaming. And I feel like it has been very good for my mental health, because something else that's talked about in the DARE response in the book and in the app actually is committing to a daily routine that like basically sets you up for success. So waking up at the same time every day, taking a magnesium supplement every day, going to bed at the same time every day, like basically having a routine and a structure that you commit to. And the reason I think that, even though this isn't part of like the acronym, I do think having a daily commitment is important, at least for me, I'll say, because when I'm going through that like panic, anxiety, if it goes on too long, eventually I start to become depressed. Eventually it leads into depression, because I think, oh my gosh, my life is going to be this way forever. I'm going to feel this way forever. And why would life even be worth living if this is what I have to deal with? And I know that's a really fucking dark thought, but anybody who's ever dealt with depression knows how that feels. And I am not typically a depressed person. I do not deal with depression on the regular. This is not me. This is not my essence. This is not something that I'm a very like high motivation, high drive. I love creation. I'm like a very like vibrant individual, and that has not left me. I'm still that kind of person. She's just a little bit stuck right now. But in any case, I'm getting a little sidetracked. The daily practice, the daily routine is to kind of shake you out of that and to show you that you can commit to yourself as well. I tried doing the whole morning routine thing. Bestie, it did not work for me. That has been a thing that has not worked well for me, mostly because I am such a night owl at this point in time that, and it will change. I'll go back to being a morning person eventually. I'm just not doing that right now. And I need my sleep, okay? I love sleep. I don't know how anybody doesn't love bed. I love sleep. I love bed, even though sometimes I get a little panicky about it. I really do love bed. I love sleep. I love it, okay? I love it. I love my time in bed as well. Big on bed. Bed's my favorite. I've said this before, but I also tend to stay up relatively late. And at least right now, that's just where my schedule has been. And so trying to force myself to get up early in the morning when I haven't had enough sleep, basically it just keeps happening. And then I'm sleep deprived. And then that leads to more anxiety. So I feel like the morning routine did not really work for me. But instead of that, I decided to commit my time to streaming every day. So I have been doing streaming for the last... Today, technically, when this goes out, it'll be day 5. I stream at 2 p.m. and it's been really good for me to just sit and talk to my community. And that's all I've wanted to do it for, is just sit and talk to my community. And so I would encourage you, if you're a listener of the podcast, come and join the Twitch stream. It's twitch.tv/thecozybabesclub. Come to the Twitch stream. Every day we start with a gratitude practice together where we all discuss it. And we usually do a secondary practice every day that you'll know if you come to the stream. And then we have like some closing notes. And then usually I lead into playing some video games. And not always. Sometimes we just sit and talk for the whole stream. But it's been so good to every day I have somewhere to be. Every day I have accountability with my stream. Every day I know that that community is counting on me to be there and be live at that time. And it has given me motivation. It has given me creativity and joy. And like, I could like cry. I could literally start crying about how much just in the last 4 days, because today would be day five, just in the last 4 days, that has transformed my life already. I'm seeing more things that I'm grateful for. Having a gratitude practice every day has changed things. Being with the same people that keep showing up in the community every day to sit and talk with me, it fills me to the brim. And I think it's also a big part of like my work that has really been missing is the live events. So in any case, I know I just threw a lot at you. And I wanted to put all of this out and just kind of, I guess, ramble it out there. Because number one, I think these tools are so helpful. And somebody out there I know that is suffering or struggling needs to know that there is hope, that you are not just going to suffer for the rest of your life, that there are new things to try. And if nothing else, take my story. And I know, even though I'm having a hard time and I'm still working through it, and it has not been easy work, I know that I've done this before and I know that I'll do it again. I will never give up on myself. And that's one thing that I know about Chloe Taylor. And I tell you on this podcast all the time, Chloe Taylor, she's a resilient motherfucker. I will never just accept something if I don't like it. I will never take something and say, you know what? I don't like that about my life, but that's just how it is. Nope, I will not. If I got to argue with some bitch, I will argue with some bitch. If I got to set something right, I will set something right. If I have to put something new into my routine, I will put something new into my routine. If I have to do extremely hard mental work to work through what I'm working through, I will do the hard mental work. And I am not special. I am not unique. If I am special and I am unique, you're special and you're unique. That's what I mean when I say that. It's not that I like think less of myself. It's that I think we all have the capacity. And I feel like if you listen to this episode and it helps you in any way and you needed to hear these things, like literally that is the reason I'm going to publish this, because I'm starting to second guess this episode. And I'm like, man, did you really say it like how it should be said? Couldn't you have said this a little more organized? And no, I actually think it needs to be this way. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been dealing with. And I am getting better, genuinely. Like the last 2 days have been so good. Like, and I know healing is not linear. I know sometimes it's an up and a down, but for the last couple of days, especially after that last panic attack I had, where I was able to really work through it on my own, it gave me the confidence to know that no matter what happens, I've got me. I've got my back. I know how to help myself. I will coach myself. I will be okay. And I don't need to keep looking for the danger zone. I don't need to call Kenny Loggins or whatever his name is and keep looking for the danger zone, okay? I can just exist. And if these things come up, I know what to do. I know how to work through them. I know how to help myself. I know how to soothe myself. I know what to do. And that's the kind of confidence I want you to have too. So anyways, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. I'm sorry that the episode was late. And I hope you'll come to a stream. I'm literally streaming every day at 2 p.m. for the next 29 days, because we're doing 33 days in total. I don't know what's going to happen after the 33 days. I don't know if we'll commit to another one. I don't know if I'll start having like a normal streaming schedule where I stream on certain days. I really haven't decided. Right now, it's just the support structure that I really need in my life right now. And it's just been really nice. And I've been really happy with it. And I've loved seeing the same people come back every day. And I hope if you feel called that you'll come and be one of those people that comes back every day too, or at least as often as you can. And oh, I forgot to mention, if you can't make the live, the playback is always available on Twitch. So I highlight every single stream and I put them all on playlists. So if you ever want to watch those, like the past broadcast stays up, I think, for like 90 days, but the highlights stay forever. So
If you want to go back and watch any of that content, like if you want to go watch the first 4 days of that stream, you can. But thank you so much for tuning in. I love you. I appreciate you. I do have more podcast videos coming. I have two sitting on my hard drive right now that just need to be edited, and I just haven't handled it. So please forgive me. I feel like it's been a lot this year, dealing with my own mental health problems and then my husband getting really sick and myself getting really sick. And this year has just kind of started off a little crazy, but it's okay. We're going to get back to it. I am like so ready for spring. I'm excited for eclipse season. Anyways, that's all I want to say. And make sure you check out everything down below if you want to participate in any of those things. And if you're struggling, I love you. I love you. Nobody's told you that today. I love you. And do not forget, when you stand in your own authenticity, you empower everyone around you to do the same. Bye.